This episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is brought to you by Paste. Paste makes apps that help people perfect their work. They also hate writing self-important blurbs, so instead they wanted to hear the folks at Fusion try to pronounce a promo that is pretty hard to say on a podcast. The folks at Paste have created a jump chart for wiring content into websites, Staction for staying on task together, and Paprika for tracking your text and to-dos. Check Paste out at pasteinteractive.com.
Hey there, Mike.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
I'm very, very warm, but very good.
Yeah. God, the heat, this all globally has just been crazy.
Yep.
It's been insane.
There must be some sort of global heating problem. I don't know what that could possibly be.
I hear there's an app for that.
There probably
an app is. An app to find out about those things.
Isn't there? There is an app, isn't there, that Push Pop Press did. They're in the news today.
I mean, oh yeah, they just got purchased by Facebook.
Al Gore did a book with them about climate change and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's Al Gore's Our Choice, which I believe was published as a regular book first, but Push Pop Press approached him with the idea of doing a iPad edition of
it. It's like this crazy interactive book.
Yeah, it's like an iPad book like you've never seen. They really wanted to kind of push the limits and the idea of what a book could be.
Mm-hmm.
Really amazing stuff, and very sad that we will not be seeing another one now that they will get sucked into Facebook and probably be sent on how to make the privacy control settings even more obscure. So... But enough about Facebook, because I just got back from a nice kind of disconnected weekend. I wasn't completely disconnected. In fact, I had the ability to be connected slowly if I wanted to be, on edge, and only with my iPhone, since my iPad doesn't have 3G. And I don't have the personal hotspot thing where I can make my iPhone into a Wi-Fi base station or whatever. So basically, if I wanted to check email or do anything like that, I could do it over Edge on my iPhone. But because that was painful and even that was spotty, I tended not to.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. We take a regular summer trip. Sometimes we take two up to our family's cabin, which is about 2.5 hours, a little bit northwest of here. And it's a nice cabin on the lake, with a boat and a nice peace and quiet. And I mainly spent the time just catching up with reading and enjoying not being tethered to the Twitter and the Facebook and the all the other things that tether us.
Is there a reason that you decide to make that sort of choice?
Well, in some ways, like I said, because of the technology available to me, the choice was made for me. But I certainly relished the experience of not doing so. There's a number of reasons, not the least of which is, especially like because I did all of my reading on my iPad. Like I really caught up with my, not really caught up. No, I. Who am I joking? I didn't get close to catching up on my Instapaper. But I did a lot of reading in my Instapaper. Read about 20 or 30 things in Instapaper. And I've got hundreds of things saved to Instapaper. And we've talked about it before, but that's... I'm not one of those people who suffer, quote-unquote, Instapaper guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have so many things I'm never going to be... because that's not the point.
I'm the same. I just leave it.
Well, I can go away on vacation and take my iPad and know that basically anything I'm possibly interested in at that given time, I can open up Instapaper on the iPad and find some article about it.
Yeah, and if something's timely, I tend not to send it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Because, what do you do instead?
I just read it in RSS.
Oh, okay.
Mainly that's just because of what I have to do with RSS. I'm in taking content to spew back out to the world again. So I need to be back, you know, it's mainly the brochure that needs it, but I need to have my idea of what's going on in the tech world, for example. So if I see something that I want to read, I pretty much just have to read it straight away. Or just leave it unread to pick up later. Because if there's something that I need to read, I'd hate to send it to Instapaper and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's I'm not being as informed as I should be for the shows. So I only really tend to send things to Instapaper if they're not sort of news related.
Yeah. Well, I do kind of a similar thing. But it depends on where I'm at. If I'm in Reader on my iPad, I will read it there, because I find that a comfortable experience to read something longer. But if I'm on a Mac, for whatever reason, I tend not to open those things I want to read right away and not send to Instapaper. In Reader on the Mac, I generally will open those up into a tab in Safari, and I try to go through those tabs before the end of the day or what have you, whenever I have spare time, because I don't like having a whole ton of 30 tabs open. I like to keep it at a reasonable number, and so I'll go through and set aside some time to read things straight there. But it's interesting that we kind of do a similar thing there. But I don't know, to get back to the whole, sabbatical thing, it was actually nice to just be on a beach watching my daughter play.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And not do anything else. I actually, about the only times the iPhone even really left the house, generally, or the cabin, I should say, was when we went out on the boat. I took it with me, and not to read it, but in case for whatever reason we got stuck out in the middle of the lake, I needed to call for help.
I can appreciate that, but probably one of the worst places to take your phone was to the water.
Yeah, well, but here's what I did.
Worst and best.
I stuck it in a Ziploc freezer bag.
This is why you're a genius.
I just grabbed a Ziploc freezer bag out of the cupboard and threw it in there, and then stuck it in my pocket with it zipped up, figuring that if the boat were to tip over or something like that, it would probably remain dry.
Probably.
So, and actually, what I thought of doing, but I knew it would get too bulky for my pocket, was to blow it up a little bit like a balloon. So if it did fall into the water or something like that, it would float.
Oh yeah, because it wouldn't even matter, because you'd never find it again.
Right.
And the bag wouldn't protect it forever. The water would eventually get in there.
It would, but still, try to put a blown up Ziploc bag into even your cargo pants, your cargo short pocket, and doesn't quite work. But what was nice about it was just the chance to be, not worry about checking email, not worrying about those things.
So do you just leave it completely?
I didn't leave it completely. Because, like I said, I did have these digital tools with me. But, like I said, because of the spotty and crappy connection, sometimes even, I would say, let me just go and check and make sure I haven't received a really important email. And I, couldn't even, get a solid enough connection that it would finish checking my messages before timing out. And then I realized, you know what? There is no email that important.
Yes.
Seriously. But yeah, I think that especially in this age where we are always connected and we have the ability, I mean, because even there, if I worked hard enough, I could. Yeah, I could check my email. I could have walked, you know, 300 feet, to closer to the highway and probably would have gotten a nice solid connection. You know, could have downloaded my email, came back and read it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I wasn't completely, like I didn't have the ability completely. I could have, and I, with enough work, it would have been easy for me to do, but why? You know? Enjoy the time. It happens so rarely these days that we have the time and space away to be able to do that. That we have the space to be able to tell people we're not going to be checking email for during this time. And oh yeah, we're not going to be replying to any that comes, you know? I didn't say that, but in some ways I wish I had.
I think it was M.G. Siegler recently who went a month without email.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a big thing. Like, he was just for a whole month not checking it.
Yeah. Well, I know, like I said, we've talked about this before with Dana Boyd of Microsoft Research, who often, whenever she goes on vacation, basically sends out a message to people that says, any email you send to me between the time I leave and the time I return will automatically go to Dev Null. Basically, will automatically go straight to the trash. I won't be looking at it, I won't be reading it, I won't be responding to it. So if you have something, it's just going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait till I return to email me about it. And while that's certainly hardcore, and you have to be in a certain position, I think, to be able to get away with that.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'd probably get fired.
Yeah.
By you.
No, I rarely sent you email.
Yeah,
we converse via DM.
We did. Well, that's because I know that you don't check email.
I check it. I just have a very dysfunctional relationship with it. I think I've discussed it before. I check it on a schedule. I generally deal with it in batches, yep. and even then, I don't necessarily, if it's, here's this great piece I linked to on Minimal Mac about how technology is actually enabling introverts like me. And one of the things it said was that now we can, you know, we get an email and we can wait to respond to it. Like, we don't have to respond to it right away, because that even gives the appearance to others that we're so busy that we can't possibly get to their email right away. And I use that to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone who's emailed me to Patrick at patrickroan.com gets an immediate auto-reply that says, I generally take 2 to 3 days to respond to an email, so set your expectations accordingly. Because I generally do. And even if I could respond to it right away, a lot of times I don't. I purposely don't. And I, you know, not to be an asshole, excuse my French, but more often than not, it's because even if I just reply with a short answer, I want to consider the answer carefully sometimes. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But all in all, I think digital sabbaticals are really important for me to take. I come back a lot more ready to engage with things like email, a lot more ready to engage with things like Twitter, and they give me so much time to appreciate the tools that we have.
Yeah. It's something that, I mean, I'm going on a trip, just nowhere, you know, nowhere overseas, just a UK holiday, with my better half next week. Well, it'll be when this comes out, I think it'll be the week that we're recording in. And I'm thinking about either completely shutting off or extremely limiting, like extremely limiting what I check. And you know, I think it'd be quite nice. I mean, I did it kind of when I was away a few weeks ago, because I couldn't, same as you, I just couldn't really check things that often. But I think it would be nice to try and just cut away again.
Yeah. Well, especially someone like you, who I would imagine a good chunk of your communications, just by their very nature, have to be digital.
Yeah.
Have to be, you know, you have a regular day job. You have multiple podcasts that you record with people all over the world.
Yep.
And, I mean, even, you know, even your significant other, doesn't, you know, isn't like someone that you get to see daily.
No. So we have to, massive majority of my communication is done electronically.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, I mean, that's just how things are. But I mean, I think one of my main concerns is, like, I'm terrified that my podcasting empire is going to crumble when I'm away and I won't know about it.
Oh, I highly doubt that, Michael.
Yeah, but I'm not really sure how that could happen.
Yeah. And for me, it really is irrational. There's no, I guess, and this has actually happened. A client has tried to contact me with a, you know, serious problem, and for whatever reason, I didn't get the message right away, and I'm filled with regret about it. But yeah, at the end of the day, no one died.
No. You know, I mean, that's the way you should sometimes look at these things, I guess. We're all very demanding.
I think the standards that we hold for ourselves and the things that we do are oftentimes higher than what other people actually hold for us. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We think, you know, that people's expectations are one thing when really they're quite another. And generally, that bar is set, we think that bar is set higher than it is. But I think on the other side of that is that oftentimes what we think it is based upon our own feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings that we're projecting. And that both of those things have to be tempered. Right, that it's not enough to just temper your own perception of others' expectations, but also to temper your own expectations of others and of yourself.
Yeah.
And realize that none of us, for the most part, you know, there are certainly some people who have these jobs and have these lives, where they really do have to, like, it is a life and death situation. But those people are far and few between.
Mm-hmm.
For most of us, Twitter, email, these things are not a life and death situation. And if we decide to just leave for a couple of days and decide not to take any of this stuff with us, or not to check it while we're away, or to check it, you know, as little or as infrequently as possible, it's okay. And we should do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked a little bit about this before too, but also, it also helps to set others' expectations.
I guess, you know, if you're going to do something like that, that's the important thing, isn't it?
Right. Is to tell people that, you know, here's the expectation. If you send me an email on Friday, you're not going to see it again until Monday. I mean, I completely forgot to post a sponsorship to Minimal Mac on Friday afternoon because I was so focused on leaving, actually. I just felt horrible about it, and I didn't realize it until Sunday. Sunday on, you know, while I was still there, and I'm like, oh man, oh, I feel horrible. Oh, I should run up to the road and try to get a connection and try to post the second part of that sponsorship. And on, and then I was like, you know what? No, I'll just do it when I get back.
Yeah.
And the developer will understand.
Hopefully.
It won't be the end of the world, right? And if, you know, if he doesn't understand, I'll say, hey, here's half the money back.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's a way to rectify these things. There's no, like I said, nobody died. And the only expectations that I really was breaking were expectations for myself. Developer not only completely, understood and was not fine with it, but, you know, he appreciated my explanation and appreciated the way I resolved it, which was to post something about it today. Like I said, the expectations we hold for ourselves are generally much higher than those that others hold for us and are based upon those that we hold for others.
Yeah.
It's a paradox, but it's true. So, oh well, enough about this yuckity yuck. We've now wasted another good 20 minutes of your time, listeners, talking about our own little lives. But yeah, I think it's an interesting subject. I've always admired people that do it. I mean, heck, two people I know online, Gwen Bell and Ev Bogue, both recently did it for the entire month of July. And actually, Gwen has done it 2 years in a row. She did it last July as well, where she completely took a digital sabbatical for the entire month, with only a couple of exceptions. And that, you know, and those exceptions even were very, you know, hard rules about how they were going to engage and what they were going to engage with and why. So, you know, it's entirely possible, and yeah, folks should do it every once in a while.
I agree. I'm gonna try. So,
all right, yeah, you should do it. I want to hear what it was like when you get back.
Cool.
All right. Well, we'll talk later, mate.
We will. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.